Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there.
The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant.
Potiphar put him in charge of his household. He entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate.
Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to me by care.
No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her.
One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand, ran out of the house.
When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you bought of us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.
When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined.
But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those he held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success, whatever he did.
Battery might be going. Oh, that's better. Okay, great. Morning, everyone. Nice to be together. And if I've not met you yet, my name's Phil. I'm the pastor here. We're just at the beginning of a series in Joseph. So last week we started to look at Joseph's account. So do keep the passage open, page 43, 44 in the Church Bible. Let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Father, thank you again that you want to feed us this morning with your living Word. Thank you that you have authority over us. We pray that we'd hear your word in that authority, and that our hearts, our wills, our minds would respond to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder when things don't go according to plan in your life, according to how you want them to go, what goes on in your heart? What happens? Maybe you've gone for that job that you just think would be perfect for you and have been longing for, and then you don't get it. What's your response? Or that romantic relationship that you've been longing for doesn't work out. Or your desire just to live a quiet life never seems to happen. Or you've got hopes and dreams for your family life and the way that you want to be, and just doesn't work out. What happens when you don't get blessed in the way that you wanted to get blessed? I guess for many of us, we'd have a bit of an angry response. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. That anger would be not far from the surface and maybe would be easily provoked by someone. Maybe for some of us, we slip into sort of self-pity. You know, oh, life is so difficult. Why me? Or maybe some of us, we blame. Maybe blame other people who we think maybe stand in the way of us getting what we wanted. Or perhaps we even at times maybe blame God for not giving us what we wanted. Throughout the account of Joseph's life, here in Genesis, we see things happening to him that he didn't choose. Things that he would never have chosen to happen to him. How's he going to react? Last time we saw his jealous brothers plot to kill him. And then they changed their minds because they could see they could profit from him. And so they sold him to slave traders. That isn't the life trajectory that Joseph thought he would be on. Particularly as God had given him those dreams of his family coming to him and bowing down to him. God's plan for Joseph's life was different than what he expected. God's plan for your life, for my life, might be different to what we expected. In today's passage, we see Joseph facing a different challenge. A woman in authority seeking to tempt him into adultery. And we're going to see through his response how we can see how he was trusting God and wanting to serve him, even in the hard situation that he was in. We're going to see how he's a bit of a contrast to his brother, Judah, from the previous chapter. We're also going to see how living God's way and obeying God will sometimes mean we have to pay a price because we live in a world that doesn't live by God's commands. But also, wonderfully, we're going to see how Joseph, the pattern of his experience was also the pattern of Jesus' experience. How God actually brings good purposes out of both Joseph's obedience and supremely Jesus' obedience. Let's start off in the first couple of verses 1 to 6, as we look at serving God faithfully in unchosen circumstances. What's Joseph's new situation? We'll look at verse 1. He's a slave. He's no longer a free man. He hasn't got choice about where he goes, what he does. He belongs. He's owned by somebody else. He's stuck in that situation. Back home, his dad thinks he's dead. His brothers have betrayed him. And now he's living in a different country, far from home. A different country with a different culture, different values, different gods. And he's a slave of this man, Potiphar. An official of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the ruler. That's the title given to the rulers of Egypt. And this man, Potiphar, was in charge of the guards who protect Pharaoh. So he was quite a senior official. But what a dire situation for Joseph to be in. But then we read what God was doing. Look at verse 2 with me. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. As Potiphar sees how Joseph is different to all his other slaves, because the Lord is with Joseph and blessing Joseph in his work, he raises Joseph to the most senior role in his household. Look at verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. In these verses, I don't know if you notice, the words everything and all are repeated. Show us that Joseph really did have oversight over all of Potiphar's house. And then what happens? Look at verse 5. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Potiphar's house is blessed by the Lord through Joseph. Now, Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham had received a promise from God. A promise that all peoples on the earth would be blessed through him, or through his seed, his descendants. The Lord promised to bless the world through the line of Abraham's descendants. And here we have a little example of that. Here we have one pagan man, one pagan household, but we see that promise begin to be outworked through the Lord blessing them through Joseph. Now, was it Joseph's plans to be hundreds of miles away from his home? Was it his plan in life to be a slave? No. But once he was there, he obeys his master and he knows the Lord's blessing on him and the whole household. What about you? When you experience less than ideal circumstances, situations not of your choosing, maybe that's a description of your life even this morning. What do you do? Do you blame God and push against him? Or do you accept his sovereignty over all of your life and carry on serving him, trusting the outcome to him? God had promised that through Abraham and his descendants, the world will be blessed. And we know ultimately that promise was about Jesus. Jesus can trace his family line back to Abraham. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection that true eternal blessing can come to all those who put faith in him. Through wherever you are in the whole world. That those blessings of sins forgiven, God's anger turns away. The blessing of fellowship with him now and forever. The blessing of being a part of his people, his church now and perfectly in heaven. And when we read the New Testament describes those who trust Jesus as Savior as Abraham's true descendants. And God's promise to bless the world through Abraham's line comes now through us as we are united to Jesus. We become a blessing because we are blessed in him. I wonder, how is God extending his blessing through you? Maybe to your family, maybe at your place of work, maybe in your relationships with your work colleagues, your friends, at school or university, the leisure groups that you take part in. As we stay united to Jesus through faith, so God's blessing extends. He blesses others as we point them to Jesus, so they have that chance to experience every spiritual blessing in Jesus. He blesses our workplaces, our families, our leisure groups as we serve Jesus through those, as we love others, as we serve through working with integrity and wholeheartedness. Think of a Christian young man I know who was working in the fast food industry where many of the workers are really unreliable. You know, they just take days off when they feel like it and pretend they're sick and don't turn up on time and just have a bad a work ethic. But this Christian lad was different. He worked wholeheartedly. He turned up on time. He didn't take those wrong sick days. And he was soon recognized and given promotion. He was a blessing. His boss and a blessing to the restaurant. God blesses us to be a blessing to others as we live for Jesus and speak of him. And he does that even in situations not of our choosing. I wonder if you think that God can only bless you and be a blessing through you when you're in the situations that you want, where you're comfortable, situations of your choice. Maybe this morning God is asking us to have a bit of a mentality shift. We can serve God faithfully and know his blessing even in unseen and unchosen circumstances. But there will be others including Satan, the tempter. He will want to test our obedience. Test our obedience even in those difficult situations. And that's what happened next for Joseph. So secondly this morning, we see that our obedience will be tested in verse 6 to 20. Joseph is good looking and he catches the eye of Potiphar's wife. Now, she might be the free person in this situation because Joseph's a slave and she isn't. But she's actually a slave too. She's a slave to lust. She has all the power in this situation and she commands Joseph to sleep with her. Joseph knew that he was just a foreign slave. He had no power in this situation. He knew that if he didn't obey her, there would be consequences further down the line. But he feared the Lord more than he feared her. He feared the Lord more than he feared the possible consequences from disobeying her. Imagine your boss asks you to do something that you know is wrong in God's eyes. Imagine how you'd feel, how nervous you would be in refusing, knowing that your boss has all the power in that situation. Actually, he has your career and your future in his hands. Joseph faces all of this and more. Now, the previous chapter, Joseph's brother, Judah, didn't have his sexuality under control. And you can read that chapter later at home. He decided not to have a whole sermon on it, and when you read it, you'll see why. But Joseph stands as a contrast. He has his sexuality under control. He fears God, so he refuses her. Look at what he says in verse 8. With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns is entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph knows that sleeping with her would not just be a betrayal of Potiphar, who trusts him and has put him in charge of his household, but most importantly, he knows it's a sin against God because it's adultery. He knows that if he'd given in to what she wanted, Joseph would have been like sticking two fingers up at God's good design in creating sexuality and marriage to be a picture of Jesus' committed self-sacrificial love for his church and to be a picture of his church's joyful submission to him. Joseph fears God more than he fears the consequences of refusing Mrs. Potiphar. And it's not in a way that he's got a decision to make. He'd made that decision in his heart prior that he would live God's ways. And so when that decision was tested, it made it easier for him to stay faithful. He knew what God wanted. Now you and I, when we face that lingering sin in our hearts and our lives, when we face temptation, if we too can see it like Joseph does here as primarily offence against God, then we'll be able to say no to temptation too. When we know God's grace in our hearts and lives, and we know his love for us overflows, when we prize our right relationship with him above the fleeting joys of what sin might offer us now, we too will be able to say no when that temptation comes. Particularly when it comes to sexual temptation here, like it is here, which can be so strong, so hard to resist. You know, we live in an age, don't we, of, you know, instant access pornography and the internet, the sexualization of almost everything in our culture. We too can resist temptation if we've made that prior decision that actually we prize our walk with the Lord and knowing his love more than we prize the hollow but attractive lure of sexual sin. And sometimes that can be relentless. Mrs. Potiphar here begins to relentlessly pursue Joseph day in, day out. Verse 10, though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. He removes himself from the source of temptation. Now, for you and I, that might mean putting accountability software on all our devices, or it might mean not staying up late watching films we know might tempt us and tempt our thoughts. It might mean bringing ourselves off certain social media sites where we know sexual imagery is rife. Because like Mrs. Potiphar was to Joseph here, sexual temptation for us in our society can just be constant and intense. But sometimes obeying God and living his way will mean that there is a cost to pay. Just as last week we saw Joseph's ornate robe from his father got him into trouble with his brothers who were jealous of him, so here his slave's cloak becomes a weapon against him. Mrs. Potiphar grabs hold of it in an attempt to seduce Joseph, and he flees, leaving her holding the cloak. And she's humiliated by his constant refusal. Perhaps she's a woman that's used to getting her own way, particularly her husband's got a power and authority. And we know if you read accounts of life in Egypt at that time in history, there are accounts where many slaves were used just as sexual chattel by their masters. And here's Joseph refusing her. So she stirs up trouble for him. She gets the servants in. And her speech to them is rife with racism. Look at what she said in verse 13. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew..." She's being racist. "This Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us." She's trying to make out that Joseph is against all the other slaves too. "He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. And she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make a sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She's sort of claiming attempted rape. Serious accusations. And what's Potiphar's response? Well, he's furious, but we're not told who he's angry with. We're not told that he's necessarily angry with Joseph. Might be angry with the whole situation. After all, Joseph has been a great source of blessing to him and his household, and losing him and losing that blessing is going to be tough for them. He might have even been angry with his wife. Perhaps he knows her only too well, that she sleeps with other men. Some commentators suggest this because by their law, Joseph should have been put to death there and then. But Potiphar doesn't do that. He sends Joseph to prison instead. Perhaps he knew what his wife was like only too well. Even though Joseph did the right thing before God, he ends up falsely accused and then punished, even though he's innocent. Once again, Joseph, his experience here points us to Jesus and Jesus' experience. Jesus too faced many false accusations throughout his life. "Oh, you're demon-possessed." And ultimately, he experienced many false accusations at his sham trial. He too was punished, even though he was the only true innocent person, the only man never to sin, put to death on the cross. And yet, through this unjust situation, it's exactly how God was working his salvation plan out. The sinless Jesus was able to bear our punishment as sinners whose offense to God condemns us to hell. And he was taking that punishment for us, even though he didn't deserve it. And here in the book of Genesis, we'll see how God's plan to save his people at that time, Joseph's extended family, his plan to save them from famine that threatened to kill them, is ultimately going to be worked out through Joseph being wrongly imprisoned here. Unjust situation. But God is working his salvation plan out. Jesus becomes our pattern too when we suffer for doing the right thing for God. Peter, in his first letter in the New Testament, says this: "For it is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Here's the thing, you and I need to believe this truth before we are in situations where we might suffer at the hands of the world for obeying God. We need to have this truth and hold on to it firmly before we maybe have to pay a price for putting our obedience to God over our obedience to others or this world. Maybe you experience it at work where your boss or other colleagues just always treat you differently because they know you're a Christian and somehow they're a bit suspicious of that. I know that when we moved here and I was interviewed to be a school governor and I had 16 years previous experience of being a school governor, the school was very suspicious. And at my interview, they asked me nothing about my experience of being a school governor. They asked me lots of questions about my Christian faith. Maybe there might be times when you have to say no at work or at school, university, in society, to those who have the power when you don't, because their demands go against God's good commands. Maybe in the medical world when assisted dying comes in. Maybe in the realm of not promoting ungodly understandings of sexuality and marriage. Maybe just because you won't switch off your Christian faith when you're serving in public life. And of course, many of our brothers and sisters around the world know this only too well. For some of them, even today, for them to say Jesus is Lord, for them means risking their life. But they too know that obedience to God is ultimately the way to eternal blessing. We need to be prepared in advance, like Joseph was, for these temptations, and know that the cost of obedience is worth it, because we know and follow our only Saviour, the only one who can give us eternal life. I wonder, are you prepared for those costs? Well, finally this morning, we come a bit full circle. We're going to see again God's presence, his blessing in unchosen circumstances. Joseph again finds himself in another situation that he would never have chosen for himself. Where is he now? He's in prison. Psalm 105 talks about Joseph's experiences and describes his time in prison like this. They bruised his feet with shackles, Psalm 105:18. His neck was put in irons. This isn't your category 3 open prison. It's a tough place to be. And yet even there, Joseph experiences the committed, covenant, loving kindness of the Lord towards him. Look at verse 20 at the end. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness. It's that word we find throughout the Old Testament. It's a covenant word. Sometimes we translate it as love, sometimes loving kindness, sometimes mercy. It's there in Psalm 23 we were looking at a few weeks ago. Surely your love and mercy will follow me. It's the same word. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warder. So the warder puts Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there, again, all, like we had before. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Doesn't that remind you of the beginning of the story today? The description of Joseph's life in Potiphar's house? All and everything put under Joseph's care because the Lord is blessing him and is with him. These acts are sort of like bookends to this chapter. The situation, the circumstances for Joseph might be really hard. Humanly, he's powerless in the situation. But the Lord stays committed to be with him and to bless him. And through him, again, to be a blessing to others. This time in the prison. The circumstances have changed yet again, but the truth of God's presence has remained the same. Again, imagine this second cruel blow to Joseph, the temptation to self-pity and to blame God. But no, Joseph gets on with doing his work, and God blesses him. Here's the thing, if you belong to Jesus, if he's your Savior, if you're trusting him and wanting to follow him with your life, then he has promised to always be with you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 tells us. Even when you find yourself in situations not of your choosing, even when you find that your life is not panning out in the way that you maybe thought it would, even when you're in the pit, in the prison, in the dungeon, God is with you. You belong to Jesus. When circumstances change against your plans, what goes on in your heart? Bitterness? Or trusting God's sovereignty and his providential care? Trusting that he will safely take you home, ultimately to be with him. You know, for some of us, when we're in those situations, that's not a one-off trust thing, is it? We might be battling with questions and doubts. We might be fighting constantly that temptation to self-pity. But the Lord's promise to be with us and bless us and to make us a blessing to others, even when we're in the pit. I was thinking this week of someone that many of us know here at Grace Church who a number of years ago had cancer treatment, not their choice of life direction. But they were able to talk to other people when they were receiving treatment in hospital about the difference that being a Christian made to their experience of cancer. And it bore fruit. Someone ultimately came to trust Jesus themselves through those conversations that began there on the hospital ward. Not a situation of their choosing, but they knew God's blessing. They knew that the Lord was with them. And even there in that difficult situation, they were blessed to be a blessing. Today, even in the pit, God is with you. His promise to bless you, every spiritual blessing in Christ, that he can make you a blessing to others. Let's pray together. It's a moment's quiet for you to reflect, maybe talk to the Lord for yourself about whatever he's particularly encouraged or challenged you with this morning. And it's quiet to do that, and I'll lead us in prayer. Father, thank you that you are Lord and sovereign, that you are working your purposes out. Father, when we are in situations not of our choosing, when we feel powerless, we pray that we too would know that reality of you with us, of you continuing to bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. Father, as we go into different situations this week where maybe there are different temptations on us to not live your way, Father, thank you that you are with us then. Thank you that you enable us to say no to temptation through the Lord Jesus. And we pray that even if there's a cost to pay, as we make that choice to honour you, we pray even then we continue to know your blessing and your presence. We ask this in your name. Amen.